This is SB Nation Radio.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
A new generation of sports radio.
This is the Tony D Show.
Now it's time to see who has the heart.
This is our countdown to kickoff featuring the Cleveland Browns. Live from the Quicken Loan Studios in New Jersey, here's Tony Desiri.
Glad to be with us here on SB Nation Radio. So yeah, you take the good and you take the bad when you do these previews every day. And again, we're doing 32 teams and 32 shows. You're going to run into a team like the Cleveland Browns that may be more fascinating in their ineptitude than some of the teams that we've talked about that are expected to make the playoffs and are expected to win the Super Bowl. The Browns are a real fascinating watch. The Browns are an organization that when you look at them and you have to kind of take everything with them, right? From the Haslam debacle to coaches being fired to Johnny Manziel being picked to the fact that they've had 25 starting quarterbacks since being back into the league. I mean, the things that the Browns have done since being a quote-unquote expansion team, and they really were, let's be honest. I mean, to go back into the history real quick, the Browns left, that organization had left to go to Baltimore to become the Ravens. So essentially what the NFL did was they gave Cleveland an expansion team. They didn't give them the Browns back. That team and that structure was already in Baltimore. They gave them a fresh, brand new team. But they gave them the logo, they gave them the name, and they also gave them, which I thought was really cool, they gave them the history. So if you look in the Ravens' history, for example, you won't find references to old Cleveland Browns, even though that's the same franchise. Yeah, you know, like grab a Tennessee Titans media guide, for example, and you'll see references in it to Houston Oilers players because that was a team that just moved. In the Ravens' case, they started fresh in their history, even though as an organization they were the Browns. So this collection of Browns players are, you know, competing in the history books with the Browns players from the 60s and 70s and 80s. But when they came about, when they came through, they've had only a handful of good years. I remember in 2002, the Steelers beat them in the playoffs. But other than that, this is an organization that can't settle on a quarterback. Some years they've used four guys. A lot of years they've used three. The last 3 years, they've had three different starters. And they're settling on Robert Griffin III, which I can only imagine makes people go, ugh, all right, we'll see. Because that's where we are in the state of the NFL. We yesterday when we did the Minnesota Vikings, Teddy Bridgewater got hurt. Immediately, people were wondering, oh, what does this mean? We found out throughout as the day progressed that he's going to be out for the year. He tore an ACL. He's messed up. The knee was torn up. Players were throwing helmets. Players were cursing. So if you're a fan of the Minnesota Vikings, you look around and say, okay, who do we have? Who's coming up? Well, Sean Hill's a backup. Okay, where else? And the list of players that the Minnesota Vikings, that, you know, the people that cover the NFL started throwing out there were not inspiring names. Cleveland is in the same boat. Unless you develop and bring in a guy and you give him the tools and you give him patience and you give him a strong organization, that organization can't go anywhere. They've had quarterbacks come in. All right, it's not like the Cleveland Browns have not taken chances with quarterbacks. Whether it's Brady Quinn, whether it was Tim Couch, whether it was Trent Dilfer coming in, whether it was Jake Delhomme, whether it was Colt McCoy, whether it was Brian Hoyer. I mean, the list goes on and on. Brandon Whedon, the list goes on and on. They've had their opportunities to develop quarterbacks. They've had their opportunities to take veteran quarterbacks and give them second life. They haven't been able to do that because the organization is a mess. The NFL doesn't make apologies for your failure. It gives you plenty of opportunities to fix whatever is wrong with your team. That's one of the reasons I think the sport is very popular. We love football, but think about what you get in the NFL, if you just give your attention as a fan to a team. You shouldn't be out of the postseason race for very long if you are. You shouldn't. Because it's structured so that you can use the salary cap to your advantage, use the scouting to your advantage, use the draft picks to your advantage. If you are well-structured in your front office, you shouldn't be decades and decades of futility. It's not how it's supposed to work. Major League Baseball, for years and years and years, if you were a fan of the Royals, right, you were just a farm system for the teams. Restructured the economics, local dollars come in. Next thing you know, the Royals are in the World Series and winning the championship. Tampa Bay is making a playoff run, right? I mean, all of a sudden, small market teams that we picked on, right? Oh, yeah, look, go ahead and develop the Yankees' next outfielder. All of a sudden, with the right manager, with the right scouting, with the right economic dollars coming in locally, changed the way we looked at the game. All of a sudden, the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Red Sox weren't just buying championships. The NFL has always been, hey, look, everybody here. No, it doesn't matter whether you play in Dallas or Green Bay, or it doesn't matter. We're all under the same system. And the reason we're all under the same system is so that fan bases don't feel like, well, it can never happen here. In Cleveland, it should happen because it should happen everywhere around the NFL. The fact that it hasn't happened would make me very, very upset as a fan. You go back to the 80s. I mean, if you go back to Bernie Kosar and those 80s that lost the teams that lost to the Broncos, and those teams were really well built, well put together, well coached. I can remember in the 90s and when Vinny Testaverde was the quarterback with the Steelers. I mean, it's frightening sometimes how good they were. But since leaving for Baltimore, they have not been a threat. They've had very, very few feel good years. They have never been able to find a quarterback, and the organization is a mess. Hugh Jackson was the right coach. I think that has been universally said, and Hugh Jackson seems to be the right guy. But if the organization front office falls apart, then it doesn't matter who's the quarterback. It doesn't matter if it's RG3, Hugh Jackson, they go into the draft and take a quarterback, Deshaun Watson, whoever. It doesn't matter. The front office is already, it just destroys the core of what you can try to do there. But we will be previewing the Cleveland Browns. Jeff Schuldel will join us from the News Herald out in Cleveland. We'll get his thoughts on this team that went 3-13 last season. And Hugh Jackson, front office, and RG3. A couple of things and young players to kind of watch out for. We break down a team every day all the way through to the start of the season. This segment brought to you by Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Fresh brewed iced tea tastes with a kick. 800-777-2907 if you want to get involved in the show. Also on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. So the Minnesota Vikings are looking for a quarterback. And now the names that have come up are not very appealing. Brandon Whedon, Brian Hoyer. I mean, the list is just not very good. And believe me, people have already started to look at the list because there are plenty of guys that you can use in a backup situation. Whether it's Sean Hill, who's already there. Do you go out and trade for somebody? But the names of Rex Grossman, Charlie Whitehurst, Josh Freeman, Jimmy Clausen, Tavares Jackson, hey, these aren't very appealing names. And that's the problem in the NFL. Why don't we have decent enough quarterbacks? The market is open, right? There is a need. And we as a country in almost any sort of industry, we fill the need. Oh, your town doesn't have a good Italian restaurant? We can fill that need. Somebody will step up and do that. Oh, you need a department store or you need a hobby shop or whatever it is? We tend to fill those needs. In the NFL for a very long time, the need to have a good backup quarterback has always been there, and we can't fill it. We can't fill it. We have guys that are okay. We have guys that'll make you think the season's over. We just can't fill it. Now, you would think with the amount of money that you could make being a decent NFL quarterback that the factories that produce quarterbacks would be in full force. Oh, my God, we're flooding the NFL with incredibly talented, smart players who know how to play this position and can do it well at the highest level. We're just churning them out. We've got our quarterback camps. We've got our training centers, all of this stuff. Come on in, because you can make really good money holding a clipboard, and when your name is called, when the inevitable happens, which is you're going to be needed on a team, you'll be ready to go. We can't do it. We can't do it. We don't have it. If you have a quarterback that is a star in this league, if you root for a team that is a star quarterback and he goes down, how many of you just go, eh, well, that's it? That position is so important that you can't just replace an Aaron Rodgers, a Tom Brady, a Drew Brees, a Ben Roethlisberger, whoever. But you can at least put somebody there that can hold the fort, can't we? The Minnesota Vikings are about ready to choose people that can't hold the fort, and you know it. And just like that, you now know why players ripped their helmets off, threw them, and started cursing when Teddy Bridgewater went down. Coming up, how did the Tebow exhibition do in baseball? And did he really, really want this? I'll talk about that next. It's Tony D on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony DeZiri.
So the Minnesota Vikings will be looking for a new quarterback. Maybe Sean Hill's the answer, the guy they've already got in. He's 36. But with Norv Turner's system, here are some of the names that have been bantied about because they played in Norv Turner's systems before. Brian Hoyer, Brandon Whedon, Matt Cassel, Christian Ponder. Real. God. All right, maybe you get your lightning in a bottle. I don't know. I just don't understand. Look, I understand replacing star players, and you shouldn't misconstrued what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if Aaron Rodgers goes down, that the backup for the Packers should be as good or equal to Aaron Rodgers. That's you have star players for a reason. But it does amaze me how when a quarterback goes down in this league, star quarterback, that's it. You start seeing people say, oh, we did this yesterday with the Vikings. Teddy Bridgewater, 10-6, possibly run for the playoffs. Maybe a sneaky Super Bowl team, maybe. Teddy Bridgewater goes down with a knee injury, 6-10. That's how precarious the position is. And I'm not saying that you can't find, it shouldn't be on the depth chart, star, next level star, next level star. No, I'm just saying we can't find people that just goes, yeah, he's good enough. Yeah, he's fine. We just don't. Everybody looks at their backup and says, oh, it's just the same old people. That's why in Dallas, Mark Sanchez, you can't sell him. That's why in Dallas, I wouldn't take anybody, any veteran guy coming in. I wouldn't get any of these guys. Charlie Whitehurst, come on. Josh Freeman, I would go with the rookie Dak Prescott. Just have some fun at the position and give people a sense that maybe the future is bright. Let him make some mistakes. Let him learn. See what you have there. Because the other resumes that come in, the guys that will be filling in and coming into Minnesota to try to get a job with Norv Turner's staff on the offense, they're going to be guys that people in Minnesota will go, oh, all right. I guess, yep, Michael Vick's name was being, Michael Vick? I mean, what is it, 2004? What are we talking about here? All the kids that come out, all of the people that have had a taste of the NFL, we can't find any decent quarterbacks. We'll discuss the reasons why coming up in the show. Jeff Schudel will join us from the News Herald out in Cleveland, help us preview the Browns, who again went 3-13, but they got a new head coach and they got a new quarterback. I feel like I've done this dance with Cleveland too many times. Yeah, but they've got a new approach and the new coach. Yeah, I know. And he'll be fired in a year because the owner's crazy. That's how it works in Cleveland. Rob Chuzinski, yeah, we're really excited about him. And then literally 5 seconds later, yeah, sorry, we're moving on. You have no stability in Cleveland. 3-13, no wonder. But we'll get a preview of them coming up at the bottom of the hour because in the end, I am curious about where RG3's career is going to go. All right, so Tim Tebow's baseball workout was okay. Not great. But guess what? That's okay. So all the major league scouts that came to watch Tebow were probably looking to see, all right, we're not looking to find out if he has major league potential. We're probably looking to see, well, what exactly does he have? And would it be silly or would it be crazy to put him in a minor league? I mean, the idea that if you would go see Tebow and automatically see Mike Trout is insane. And I don't think any of the scouts were thinking that. A 29-year-old kid, you know, hasn't played baseball in a while, working out in a facility. No, he's not going to come out and be Mike Trout or Bryce Harper or anything like that. But you are curious. All right, what do we got here? He's a celebrity. He's a sports name. What can he do? Curiosity. What does it hurt? A lot of anonymous scouts have said things like he looked like an actor playing a baseball part. Got a long way to go. So Tim Tebow was given a series of fastballs. He hit some of those fastballs out of the park. He hits tremendously well for power. But you know what? In live pitching, where the objective was trying to get him out, he didn't do very well. He maybe had two hits that could be considered extra bases. That was it. And it went on for about 20 minutes. But here's the thing. It's okay. It's okay. Because in the end, what does he really want out of this? Now, he can stay sit in front of the cameras and say, I want to achieve becoming a big league baseball player. All right. But that's not going to happen. So if that you can work and try and really try. But those odds are so long. Is that how you want to utilize your time? Right? Sometimes you need to know where your limitations are. And sometimes you need to know that the more I spend on this, the less time I spend on that. Right? We all get 24 hours in a day. Right? I can try really, really hard to be the best doctor and surgeon at my age. But you know what? The odds are I'm not going to be a surgeon. I could start today. I could say, you know what? Change of careers. I'm going to become a surgeon. I'm going to go to med school. I'm going to learn how to do this. Yeah, by the time I'm done, I'm probably not going to be a very good surgeon. So my time is better off used wisely in certain areas, perfect what I'm doing. In Tebow's case, does he really want the lifestyle that's coming from pursuing this dream? 29 years old, heading off to some double A team somewhere, becoming a circus. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, I don't want to say circus act like he's like it's a freak show. I mean like a circus act like he's going to have media everywhere he goes in all of these small towns. You know there's small market newspapers, small market radio stations, small market TV stations are going to send every young reporter out of college to go get a Tebow quote, go get a Tebow angle, do a Tebow story. That's what life is like in these minor league towns. Does he really want to do this? Let me make this clear. Tim Tebow has a Good Morning America gig. Tim Tebow has an SEC Network gig. He gets to go around on Saturdays to SEC towns and broadcast and talk about the SEC games in front of the most rabid fan base we have in sports. And instead, what does he want to do? Go to the Arizona Fall League? Oh, sure. He can go to the minor leagues that end in early September and then jump right into broadcasting. But if he's really serious about this, he would go to the fall leagues. He would go to Venezuela. He would go continuing his baseball career. No time to be hopping jets to Tuscaloosa, Gainesville, and Oxford, Mississippi. If he's really serious about this, he's going to put all of his attention into baseball. I think deep down, I don't think he really does want. As much as he says he does, I really don't think he does. Really? Where? Durham, North Carolina? Just hang out in Durham taking batting practice on a July day? I don't see this. Right? And then because he wore number 15 in college, it would be you get 15 hot dogs for $15, those kind of promotions everywhere he goes. Right? I mean, minor league baseball stadiums and organizations do a great job with promotion. They're going to have a field day with this. A field day. Tebow's coming in. Let's do your best walk on water moment. Or all sorts of different ideas that you can have with Tim Tebow. Is that what he wants? And I mean it. I don't mean to say circus act in a bad way here. I'm not trying to say he's some sort of freak show. I don't mean it like that. What I mean is, everywhere he goes, all the time, the skeptics, the cynics, the media attention, and not for the thing that I think he should be pursuing. And again, I can't speak for him, and I'm just giving you advice. Do what you do best. Listen, I got into this business very young. I've been doing radio since I was in high school. And I wanted to do everything. Oh, everything. Host shows, play-by-play. I found out that baseball play-by-play, I'm just not built for it. I don't have the patience. I'm a fast talker. I don't want to tell long stories. I need action constantly. I'm not built for it. So I pursued something else. Tebow, you're good on the air. You're good at breaking down SEC games. I'll miss you when you're gone. I like your angles. I don't want to see you in Durham in July trying to get the slider down. All right, coming up next, the Browns preview. It's Tony D, SB Nation Radio.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony Desiree.
All right, we're continuing our countdown to kickoff previews, a team a day all the way to the start of the season. Today, the Cleveland Browns, 3-13, new head coach again, new starting quarterback again. Jeff Schudel joins us from News Herald out in Cleveland, help us preview the Browns for 2016. How are you, Jeff?
Good, Tony. How are you today?
Good. I appreciate your time. All right, let me ask you this from a standpoint of Paul DePodesta coming in. Now, the conversation is, well, the Browns are going to be the money ball of football. Is that how it's working?
Well, you know what? I mean, I think it's a little different in football with a salary cap and everybody kind of in the same boat. Although, when you look at what they've done this week, cutting Paul Kruger, trading the punter Andy Lee, it looks sort of like they are trying to do blue light specials here. But I really don't think that's it. I think the Andy Lee trade is an example. The Browns figured they'd rather have a fourth-round draft pick, which they got from Carolina, than a Pro Bowl punter. So I don't really think it's a financial money ball thing, but they're really collecting draft picks to try to have a better future.
Hugh Jackson, I like this selection as a head coach, and I think a lot of people did. Coming in, though, has he been given a little bit more wiggle room here, a little bit more longevity than other coaches who have come and gone so quickly?
Well, that's the plan. Let's just see if it happens. Jimmy Haslam, a team owner, is really, really impulsive. He has fired three, he bought the team in 2012, Tony, and has already fired three head coaches.
Yeah.
That does not, scream of patience. So he says he's going to be patient this time. Let's see what happens. This is going to test his patience because this is, I don't see the Browns winning more than four games. I think four would be a miracle.
So is the front office in a position where they can say, look, okay, we've had 25 starting quarterbacks since we started this thing back in 99. We need to strip this down to basics. We basically need to start all over and build this thing with some time. And is that something they can sell to the owner?
I think they could sell it to the owner. I think the fans are a little tired of this. Tony, they've had two winning seasons since 1999. And I think fans are getting tired of hearing, oh, we have to start over.
Yeah.
Because especially, the Cavaliers are NBA champions. The Indians are apparently heading toward the playoffs. They have a 4.5-game lead in the division. And the Browns have really become the redheaded stepchild of Cleveland pro sports. And that's saying a lot because they sell out every game, although the stadium is certainly not filled every game. But I think the fans are getting tired of these rebuilds.
In terms of, I don't know if there's a simple answer to this, Jeff, but I wonder, the NFL isn't built like this. You're supposed to get good draft picks if you're bad. You're supposed to be a couple of years away with the salary cap from fixing things. Why hasn't this worked in 15, 16 years?
Well, if I could answer that, I'd probably be in the front office. But,
probably, right?
one of the biggest problems is that the owners have been impatient. They've been impatient. It's kind of catch-22. They're impatient because it's a loyal fan base. And then they start over, they start over, they start over. And then every time a new regime comes in, they don't like what the old regime did. And then their logic has to be, well, they couldn't win with those guys, so I better get some new guys. And before the new guys have a chance to really establish themselves, that regime gets fired. And more new guys come in and start all over again. And it will never work that way, never. And the irony is that Haslam was a minority owner, and a really small minority owner, in the Steelers, in an organization that's had three head coaches since 1969. I mean, think about this. Think about this. Three head coaches since 1969, and Haslam has had more head coaches with the Browns since 2012.
Oh, man.
There's no mystery here.
Yeah. All right, so, but in terms of, things to like? Are there things that people can look at, young players that are emerging, that, that give a little bit of hope or a little bit of, hey, look, the future may not all be that bleak down the road?
Well, you know, I think that RG3 is going to do okay here. He's only 26 years old. It's hard to say that he's trying to pick up his career again. Now, of course, he hasn't been close to what he was in 2012 with the Redskins, but he's a positive point. And when Josh Gordon comes back from his suspension, he played in that preseason game last Friday, his first game since 2014. He looked like he had never missed a practice. So he's a positive. Terrell Pryor is a positive. Converting quarterback to receiver, he's looking pretty good. The offensive line is shaky. There are a lot of questions on defense. So there aren't a lot of positives right now.
Is that defensive front, is it too young and too inexperienced to expect some good things from them?
Well, that's a good question. It is very young, for sure. And they lost probably their best defensive lineman, Desmond Bryant. He tore a pec lifting weights in early July. He's out for the year. So he was their best and most experienced lineman. Danny Shelton, a second-year nose tackle, a first-round pick last year, I'm not seeing anything from him, and nobody seems to be either. He gets pushed around. He got pushed around by a backup center when the Browns played the Falcons. And Alex Mack, Atlanta's stunning center, of course, was here for 6 years. Then he said, forget it, I'm out of here. And he left through free agency. And now they're trying to break in Cameron Irving, who I think will be okay, but you don't want to learn on the job in September and October.
With the emergence of Duke Johnson, is there a 1-2 running back punch there in Cleveland?
Yes, I mean, there you go. That's a positive.
There you go.
I think Duke Johnson is a good back. And Isaiah Crowell, their starter, he's pretty good. So, I mean, that's something to start with. And if those receivers I mentioned, plus Corey Coleman, the rookie, he's got some catching up to do because he missed 2 weeks with a hamstring injury. But if he plays like he did early in practice, the offense is going to score some points. But, Tony, they're going to have to win 35-30 every week if they're going to win games.
Jeff Schudel joins us, News Herald out in Cleveland on the Browns. I hope you don't mind me asking this, because why I have you. How has the city changed with the championship with the Cavaliers? Because we all know the plight of the city, and we all kind of shared in it. When Clevelanders walk around today, what's it like?
Well, I'll tell you what. You can't walk 50 feet without somebody seeing somebody wearing a championship Cavs championship T-shirt. And I think it really did lift the city. I covered the playoffs, and so I was at that rally when there were 1.3 million people downtown. I'm telling you, that number was real. And it was an exciting time, and I really think that championship is still carrying over. And I think it's kind of influenced, not, of course, the way the Indians play, but now, as I said, they're a first-place team. And so I think Clevelanders now feel pretty good about themselves. But then the Cavs, of course, they start training camp here in less than a month. But when it's just October, when November, when the Browns are really the only team, I mean, the Cavs by then will be playing. But I think the Browns are going to drag people back down.
Yeah. Jeff Schudel, News Herald out in Cleveland. Great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Tony.
All right, again, Jeff Schudel on the Browns. Yeah, fascinating. I mean, think about how the city. There was a documentary on the heartbreak of a city of Cleveland, and it goes back. It goes way back. And it's just one after another after one. You watch it as a non-Cleveland fan. I watched it, and I felt just amazing sympathy for the fan base. It's like, oh, my God, how much could they take? And then they win the championship with the Cavaliers. But the Browns, he said 4 games. That's about it. Predictions coming up at the end of hour number 2. Coming up, some news out of the NFL we'll get to. And why is there a quarterback shortage? Is there a main reason for it? We'll explore. I'm Tony D. It's SB Nation Radio.
This is the Tony D Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Tony Desiree.
Okay, let's say you're being accused of committing a crime. Murder seems a little harsh, but let's say you were part of the Lufthansa heist or something like that. And you didn't do it. And you didn't do it. And you know you didn't do it. And yet you're a suspect. And the police come to your house. And they want to look around. They don't have a search warrant. They want to look around. They don't want you to get your lawyer. You know you're innocent, right? So you say, all right, come into the house. And then you immediately realize, oh, this might have been a mistake because I didn't know what I was walking into. Even though I know I'm innocent, even though I know there's nothing in this house that they could find to link me to the crime, I still shouldn't let down my guard and let the police come in and look around the house and do whatever they want to do, even though I know I'm innocent of the crime. You still would want to get some lawyer protection because, again, you don't know what you're walking into. You don't know what the expectation is. You don't know what the ramifications are. What if they do find something? Can you explain this big pile of money we just found in your basement? Oh, that wasn't there before you got here? Oh, really? And next thing you know, you find yourself in trouble. No, you continue to proceed under your rights. No, you'd get a lawyer. You'd want a search warrant. You'd want to go through all the protocol. Because that is your right, even if you're innocent, even if you're completely innocent. The reason I bring this up is because we hear this all the time. When we want to see the sort of people relaxing on that, well, if you're innocent, if you have nothing to hide. No, there's a basic way we do, you know, investigations in this country. You don't say, well, I got nothing to hide. Go ahead and just take apart my computer, take apart my house, take apart my car. I got nothing to hide because you don't know what you're walking into. The news out of the NFL is James Harrison, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Mike Neal, they're all been cleared. At least Harrison, Peppers, and Matthews have been cleared. They're all cleared. Mike Neal actually has not been cleared of yet. Right? Here's the thing. There was still a threat that the NFL used to get those guys to come in. They come in, it's all good, it's all cleared. But guess what? There was still a threat. I'll elaborate more on this. Let's go to Andy in Houston. You're next up here on SB Nation Radio.
I was going to tell you about one of them stories about getting hit downstairs with. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What's your definition of a franchise quarterback?
What's my definition of a franchise quarterback?
Yeah, I think we need to. I think some people. I think we really need to get the definition of that down because we throw it around so often.
Often, too much, because we don't really have a parameter. You know what a franchise quarterback to me seems to be? Whatever the fan base determines is successful at that position based on what they know. All right? Meaning, if I'm a fan of a team that hasn't had a lot of success, and all of a sudden I feel like the quarterback that I have now is producing, we're winning more games than I'm used to, I feel like the position is somewhat solidified, you know what, the statistics have been better than quarterbacks in the past, that can be a definition of a franchise quarterback. Because we don't have parameters on this. Is it Super Bowl winners? Well, there's plenty of Super Bowl, you know, franchise quarterbacks who've been labeled that, who haven't won a Super Bowl. Is it get me to the playoffs? That seems to be something, but it seems to be different for every fan base. Because if you go back to Teddy Bridgewater, for example, did they lose a franchise quarterback? I don't know. He seemed to regress in year number two. Maybe the team will be better off.
Yeah, I'm with you because to me, if I had to define it, it's a quarterback that's probably been on your team more than 5 years. And he's at least 50% getting your team to the playoffs.
Sure.
And so that's my parameters. And then so you look at some of these guys that's in the league, like Ryan, Stafford, Flacco's getting close to it, but he was in there a lot at the beginning because that was more because of the defense. Stafford, these guys. Look, these guys aren't getting their teams to the playoffs.
No, yet. They aren't. And I've said this about Stafford for a while. When do you cross over? Matt Ryan, the same thing, one NFC championship appearance. But you have to have a level of consistency here, correct? I mean, look, you have to have a position where Look, the way if you're a Steelers fan, Ben Roethlisberger, there's no excuse why the Steelers shouldn't be competitive and make the playoffs. They have one of the better quarterbacks in the league. But if you're Atlanta and you said to somebody at the end of the year, your team's going 7-9, would they be really surprised? Would they be really shocked? And if the answer is no, they wouldn't, then you have a problem at the quarterback position. Because if you have a guy that's solidified at that position and is a franchise quarterback, you should be shocked if somebody comes to you and says, I can see the future and you're 6-10.
That's exactly right, and if you're from like Atlanta, you know, even Tony Romo, he's got two playoff wins.
Yeah,
he's got two playoff wins. I'm sorry, that's just the truth. No, I think he's got two playoff wins. I think they've been in the playoffs four times.
Yeah, and I do remember him botching a kick 10 years ago in Seattle. So thanks for the call, Andy. Appreciate it. All right, we'll get more back into this NFL situation. This is what I was saying earlier. That's a good call, by the way. Good franchise quarterback question, because we are going to talk about that later with why is it that we haven't been able to figure out why the quarterback position hasn't been filled from the backup perspective. Every time we get a backup situation, whether it's an injury or midway through the season, it's always here's the list of veterans. And then people go, but maybe one of those guys catch lightning in a bottle. I don't know. But the NFL clearing Harrison, Peppers, and Matthews, don't forget here that the process of how they got them cleared, even though the end result is, hey, they're all cleared, all good, nothing to see here, they threatened these guys with suspensions if they didn't cooperate because somebody made an accusation that was later recanted. That the power of the NFL was, yeah, you know what? We've decided we want to look into this, and you guys better show up and answer some questions. Oh, well, if there's nothing to hide, they should walk in. They didn't know what they were walking into. They've been cleared today. Oh, yeah. So now this is going to be, see, we were right all along. No. There was still an issue, and it was still a worthy fight. I wish the union could have had more power in this, but they didn't, even though no damage was done. Tony D, SB Nation Radio.